got a really good number here tonight. I, again, so appreciate your attendance. As I mention every time, there are things that you could be doing and other places you can be. And for you to have chosen to be here with us tonight as we open up God's Word for a few moments is just very encouraging to me. For those that are visiting, especially thankful for your kind attendance. This is just such a wonderful congregation. Today I had the great thing with Wesley and Sister Beverly, and they took me out to eat, and I'll never eat again. I think I'm so full. I took a picture of the plate, and I was telling Sam, I sent it to my mother because they're big fish people too, and my mom said, you need to take all those pictures of where you're staying at and how they're spoiling you there in Virginia and put them up on your PowerPoint next Sunday and say, that church knows how to treat a preacher. And I said, okay, I'm going to do that. Because they don't do that in Arkansas, so we don't do that. But y'all are just really wonderful. Appreciate the prayer. It's exactly right. I mean, we have a Savior who has gone on before us to have a place prepared for us. You know, we just need to stay encouraged, stay faithful in this walk as we're here together, and we're here together to help each other do so, and we have that promised crown of life. And I just love it when we consider where we'll all be together. And like I always said, if we may never meet again on this side of eternity, but we'll all be together someday forever and ever. And I think that's what makes being a member of the Lord's body and a Christian just extra special. And there's just a bond that we all share. We really do. You know, I mentioned I've been eating too much, probably, but I'd probably eat again. And I want to say, even John and Susan, I didn't even say they had a big dinner. I actually ate a second time after we went out yesterday. I was kind of embarrassed to mention it again, but they had a great dinner for us. And so I ate again. So I'm really, you know, I probably need to go on a diet. But I saw this recently. I want you to really think about that in regards to food. Rabbits jump, right? Rabbits jump, and they live maybe 8 to 10 months, usually. Dogs run around. They live 15 years or so. But turtles do nothing. They just lay around, and they live to be 150 years old. So, you know what? Maybe there's something about just laying around and doing nothing. I don't know. And so maybe that's what I'll try to do, but I have been really eating a lot. Well, we're going to continue our study as we wind it up, and it's gone so fast this week, but we've been talking about making the gospel attractive to others, to be living in such a way that we would adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make it really attractive to others. And we had to do certain things. We talked about the narrowness of God's word, that we need to be able to keep it, that we need to put our whole hearts into our mission as Christians. We also talked about having love, and we looked at it in regards to love as Jesus, as our supreme example. Last night we looked at what love should look like in us as we do our best to try to show that love to others. Tonight we're going to look at being a countercultural Christian. I mean, what does that mean? I'm really going to be having time, really, to look at one part of it. And we're going to look at the idea of kindness, because I couldn't really, you know, with time, we don't have a lot of time to get deep into all of the fruits of the Spirit and all the things we need to do. But think about something that the world desperately needs, that the world desperately is missing as you go out into society. And we'd have to say, probably a lot of us would say, that, well, it's moving on me, isn't it? That kindness would be something that we need to really, really work on. You know, people are watching us. I found something, and I wasn't going to use it, but I'm going to use it. There's a man by the name of Lee Strobel, and he wrote several books. The Case for Christ, Case for the Creator, The Case for Faith, and several others. He was an editor from the Chicago Tribune. His wife asked him for so many years, just come to church with me. Just come. And he just didn't want to do it. In fact, he really was more of an atheist. In the 1980s or so, Lee decided he would just go ahead and just succumb to his wife's kind of asking all the time. And he went to church kind of to appease her. And what ended up happening to Lee Strobel is he became a believer. and a Christian. But this is what he wrote about that first time he walked into a church building. And I think it's just something for us to all think about. And this is what he admits in one of his books. When I walked into a church as a skeptical non-believer, my hypocrisy was scanning the place for some sign that these people were just playing church. In fact, I was aggressively on the lookout for phonyism, deception, because I felt like if I could find any kind of excuse for rejecting the church on the grounds of hypocrisy, then I could feel free to reject Christianity as a whole. Now, he was looking at other people. He was looking at folks like us, right, that proclaim to be Christians. And the whole thing about this is people are watching us. We can be countercultural by following God's word that really will set us apart. But it has to be a genuine feeling. As we start, kindness, what really is kindness? You might just say being kind. You know, there's some words that as we define them kind of have that word in them, but it's being kind, but it goes a little deeper. Being helpful, compassionate. And then I like this part. Concerned about other people. Concerned about other people. Paul described God's kindness in Titus, but also in Titus 3 here, 4 through 7. But he says, the kindness and love of God appeared. And that idea that God himself is kind. His son is kind. Somebody said that kindness is love in action. I like that. And I love Proverbs 31 and verse 26. The Bible there describes a virtuous person. And it says there, who has on his tongue the law of kindness. You see, we're called to be kind. And it's not just one of those words we can say, well, I'll do a good deed occasionally, or I'll smile at this person and say hello occasionally. But God calls his people to be different. Because you don't have to be in the world very long to see the world is in a kindness crisis. It really is. And one of the first things we can do to be countercultural is, number one, don't fall into the trap of being like everybody else, right? But we also want to make sure that I have that kindness, genuine kindness in me, that my heart is right, that people can see the love of Jesus, right? And they can see our kindness and our goodness. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with this story. This is a lady by the name of Amber Geyer. I don't know how many of you are familiar. This is a gentleman by the name of Botham Jean. He's leading singing there at Harding College. Let's go back there. In fact, if you go to Harding now, there's actually some buildings named after him. He was our brother in Christ. And Dallas, just a few years ago, Amber Geyer was coming home after working. She was a police officer. She was texting her boyfriend, who was also a police officer. She's very tired after working a very long shift at a very stressful job. She goes into what she thought was her apartment, remember? And encountered Botham Jean, Brother Jean, who was in his apartment, his own apartment, minding his own business, doing what he was supposed to be doing. Amber Geyer thought that she was being robbed for some reason. She pulled out her revolver and shot and killed Botham Jean. There was a big trial. It was at national news for quite a while. She was, in fact, filed guilty and sentenced to 10 years in jail. Now, the young man on the left, I can't get the video to go, but this is his brother. His brother right now is a senior at Harding University. He's also our brother in Christ. He was the victim statement. You know, you can go in after the conviction and you can give a victim statement on, you know, and most of those usually are, you know, very, very poignant and very sorrowful. And normally people that are doing victim statements say, you know, throw the book at him, right? But what his brother did was something different. It was a very powerful thing. And what he said was actually this. He said, his brother Brandt, he said this, I love you, to the lady there that shot and killed his own brother. I love you like anybody else. I'm not going to say that you rot and die. I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't ever going to say this in front of my family or anyone else, but I don't even want you to go to jail. Because I know that's exactly what Botham would want you to do. And the best thing you could do is to give your life to Jesus Christ. Well, at this point, Brandt, the young man on the left, whose brother was killed, asked the judge, "Can I hug her? Can I give her a hug?" Absolutely not done in trials. The judge, and I wish the video would have come up, you can see the judge is actually wiping tears from her eyes, and she's wiping her eyes, and she said yes. And they embraced for over 1 minute. And in his ears, I'm told that she was saying how sorry she was. And then Brandt said, "I want to see you when you get out." Well, it goes on even a little bit further, because the judge was so moved by Brandt and about his love and forgiveness and kindness that he showed to Amber Guider that she spoke to the young lady and said, "You know what? You've done a terrible thing," as she sentenced her. "But you know what? You're going to be able to get out, and the best thing you can do is to turn your life over to Jesus Christ." And she said, "I don't have a Bible. I don't even have a Bible." Remember, if you remember, the judge went back into her chambers, got her personal Bible, and handed it to Amber and said, "I want to see you when you get out." And she said, "I'm going to read this Bible. I'm going to read this Bible." If you remember, many people who are actually tried to have the judge disbarred and thrown off the bench. She got death threats. It was terrible. And they said how horrible that a judge would hand a Bible. And the judge actually hugged Amber Guider as well. I mean, things like this just don't happen, right? And you know what? I'm standing up here as the preacher. I don't know what I could or would have said. But this young man, you have to say he showed kindness. He showed love. He showed forgiveness. Maybe beyond maybe what we could even do. You see, Christianity changes people. This young man, a member of the Lord's body, our brother in Christ, was countercultural indeed. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, 13 through 16, remember there we have Jesus's what we like to call the Sermon on the Mount. It says there we must be the salt, right, in a world full of decay. That we must, as Christians, be the light of the world that we find darkened and blackened from sin, right? That our lives must be lived as a witness for Jesus Christ. It must be consistent with His words and His commandments, obedient to those. And we need to be good examples. And we must make the gospel attractive. Now, in the New Testament, Paul would tell us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, Ephesians 4 and verse 24. Remember that idea that we had to put on things? We talked about it for the last couple lessons. That there are certain traits as a Christian has to put on. That idea of putting on your clothes. You know, we probably jump in and put our clothes on every morning. We are to clothe ourselves as Christians every morning and wear those clothes of Christianity all day long, including kindness. And it's just as important to dress ourselves, you know, for our work or our day. Just as important, if not more, I would say, to clothe ourselves with Christianity. In the world we live in, and you don't have to go very far, turn on the news, read a newspaper. In the world of politics and the world of diplomacy today, they see kindness, or they see any type of kindness given to somebody else as a picture of weakness or futility. And they don't like that. I mean, the truth is, kindness is the most powerful thing of all. To honor, to love, to have compassion, to have kindness one to another. Proverbs 19 and verse 22, and I really like this. It tells us what makes a person. There's a judge hugging, I'm sorry. Yep, there. But you know what? Our faith is more powerful. Our faith is indeed more powerful than anything else. We have the power of goodness, the power of mercy, the power of kindness. That's real power. Kindness is power. Kindness is never weakness. To follow the Lord's instruction to put on these fruits of the Spirit, to live countercultural in our way, does not show weakness of any kind. In fact, it shows power on our part. And we need to make sure that we know that. And indeed, it's true. And He does tell us to be the salt and light
And remember John chapter 17 and verse 16, that they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Truly living a countercultural life is to live a Christ-like life in obedience to His Word. It's that important. If I'm going to live like Jesus wants me to live, I am going to be a countercultural person. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need to know, you know, tell our young people. You know, we always kind of feel just a little bit different than other people. I want to ask you a question. What does it take to be kind? How much effort do we have to put in to be kind? Maybe another question might be is, when was the last time that we showed kindness to someone? You know, perhaps very, like just a little bit ago, a lot ago, I don't know. But I have to say, you know, the world indeed is in a kindness crisis. I looked up a few things. There was a survey, and it says we are in a kindness crisis. 70% of the people surveyed said they had personally seen a child be unkind to someone else. 70%. So they start young. 86% of teachers that are in the public schools today said that they had seen that they'd seen unkindness demonstrated in students on a regular basis. 86%. 73% of parents that were surveyed said that they would feel better if their children would be just kind rather than to have academic success. They looked at kindness as even more important than academic success. Kindness, there's a kindness crisis. We'd have to agree we live in a world that generally we could say is very cruel in a lot of ways. We're cruel, we're selfish, we're judgmental. We're even borderline maybe unkind in a regular life. And somebody could say, you know what, there's a lot of reasons. And this kindness crisis article gave four reasons. There's a lot of reasons. But they said that there's the cesspool of the internet. And the internet's good in some ways. We're being live streamed right now. There's a lot of good things about the internet, but there's a lot of bad things about the internet. And they said also the breakdown of the home as God designed and the breakdown of families. Bad examples that maybe younger people see in older people. And then they say a lot of times people are just plain too busy, too lazy, whatever we might say, to even show kindness. But what does it really cost to be kind? When was the last time somebody showed you genuine kindness? Has it been a while? You know, researchers say to act with kindness, if we act with kindness, others are 10 times more likely to be at ease in our presence. Now, let's go back a little bit and say, you know, we're trying to make the gospel of Jesus Christ attractive. We're trying to make sure we invite people and we can teach people and we can hopefully have this friendship evangelism that will attract people, making the gospel attractive. They're 10 times more likely to be at ease. But even more important, they're 20 times more likely to listen to what we say if we're just simply kind. 20 times. My friends, kindness goes such a long way. I think I may have this on the screen. I may not. I have some. Kindness is what's desired in a man. Yeah, here's some quotes on kindness. Kindness is really a language in which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. That's from Mark Twain. Three things in human life are important. First, be kind. Second, be kind. And third, be kind, from Henry James. Kindness is not overrated, it's just vastly underused. That's Tommy Lee Jones, the actor. Kindness is a gift everyone can afford to give. I like that. Kindness costs nothing, but means everything. I like that. And there's a lot of other quotes. There's a lot of quotes on the simple thing about kindness, being kind. No wonder Paul would call kindness and include kindness in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 as one of the fruits of the Spirit that we are told to put on, to clothe ourselves with. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, we're told there to let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And look at this, verse 32, and be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So put away, right? Let these things be put away, but you be kind. You put on those things, among those things, kindness. You know, we need both. Verse 31, we need to eliminate things in our lives if we're going to live countercultural. Because if we don't, we're going to be just like the world. But then verse 32, we've got to put on something too. So one without the other won't work. We have to do both. Take off and put on. I don't know, I'm including this. I just find this kind of funny. But there's an English writer by the name of, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Somerset Maugham, if I'm right. And he goes on to say, as he was talking about kind of his life, he said, his mother was an extraordinarily beautiful woman who married an extraordinarily ugly man. True story. And he said, a family friend once asked her, how can such a beautiful woman marry such an ugly man? And she replied, he has not once hurt my feelings. He's not once hurt my feelings. Maybe, hopefully, he took after his mother. I don't know. You know, but you know, a simple thing like that, saying a simple thing about kindness. Kindness. Simply, kindness makes a person more attractive. Kindness makes a congregation of the Lord's people kinder and more, makes it more attractive. Shouldn't that be our goal? To adorn the Lord's church, to adorn His gospel, to make it attractive by just simply being kind. You know, what we do here, you know, worship and what we do outside of here as we try to help lead the lost to know the truth. Whatever we do can either be enhanced or it can be really even eliminated by the way that you and I treat other people, the way that we use or don't use kindness. When we were in, I guess the only person in here might be Jerry that knows, but when we were in Port Charlotte, my daughter was about 7. We had gotten there, and there was a gentleman that oftentimes would get up and maybe lead a prayer, or I don't think he ever led singing, but he would get up and do things, communion and everything. And one day we were in the local grocery store right after church, and he was a couple rows above us. We were behind him. We were trying to get checked out. And he treated the clerk that was supposedly, I guess, going too slow. I mean, he started screaming and yelling at her. Any of you work retail? I worked 30 years in it. You know, that happens quite often. But he literally verbally abused her. I mean, to the point where, I mean, he threw everything down on the ground and stormed out. And as he was storming out, and I was so embarrassed, he looked back just for a second. And he saw myself and my little 7-year-old daughter at the time. And you could just see it on his face. He was embarrassed. And I remember when we were walking out, she said, how come he leads singing? How come he does all of this? He acts so different, Daddy, than how he acted in there. And I said, well, the way he was acting in here was not kind. And he definitely wasn't showing his Christianity in here. People watch us. It's how we treat the clerk. It's how we treat the person. And it's a challenge sometimes, right? Person that cuts us off in traffic. The person who makes a mistake, or the doctor that takes too long, you know, to see us, and all of these things, but people are watching us and we might not even know. But the simple thing, just to step back for a moment and say, I'm clothed in kindness as a child of God. People are watching me. I'm doing everything I can to make the gospel of Jesus Christ attractive to others. So it's how we treat other people, enhanced or eliminate our influence by just being kind. Kindness is just being considerate, helpful, humane. Somebody once said, just being decent can be kind. Psalms chapter 145 and verse 17 really describes our Lord. It says there, again, Psalm 145, 17, the Lord is righteous in all of His ways, and kind in all of His deeds. Don't miss that. When God's Word says all, don't miss it. I mean, don't miss it. All, notice it. We got to appreciate it. Take it to the bank. Everything that has to do with God and with His Son is kindness. Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, the healing of the leper? how kind he showed. Luke 19, Zacchaeus, you know what? I'm going to come to your home. And also John chapter 4, the woman at the well, and how he helped the sick and raised the dead and fed the hungry. On and on it could go. Jesus as our supreme example of kindness. It's just so vital, and it's so we're missing it so much. Kindness just simply makes a person more attractive. It will make our congregations more attractive. It will be a badge that we must have and we must wear. And it will make the gospel of Jesus Christ more attractive. Kindness is easily observed. It really is. It's easily known. I don't know what keeps going on, but let's see. It's easily known. It's observable, right? You know if someone's being kind to you. And you know when they're not being kind to you, right? I mean, it's easily observed. A child, a seven-year-old or earlier, saw that, knew what it meant. The Bible says you will know them by their fruits. You'll see it in their fruits. It's that easy. Well, kindness is also an image. And it's even more. It's a reputation for the individual that's doing it, for the family that's doing it, for the congregation whose members are doing it. And make no mistake, the lack of kindness being shown by the individual or the family or the congregation will also be a reputation too for people. It works both ways. But I'll tell you, thirdly, it's also noble. Nothing wrong with that word. We don't use it very often. It's a high quality to possess. It's a high quality to clothe ourselves with every day. It's a high quality for people to see in us. And it's a quality that is countercultural in nature. It's unique to the world. It just is. And you just don't see it enough. It's a rarity. It really is. It's a rarity even with Christians sometimes. You know, when was the last time you heard even a young person say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am? Weren't we told to do that as we were growing up? There was something about manners and kindness, and somehow we've lost it, I think, maybe, or not put it in high esteem. When was the last time, ladies, maybe besides church, that somebody held a door for you? Have you ever had a door slammed in your face at a store? I see it all the time. I mean, all the time, they just don't look. How about a thank you? You know, somebody just says simply, thank you. See, the world's not used to that. Remember last night I told you we wave in Arkansas, and I get to Florida, and they all thought I was a weirdo when I was waving. Well, I said, stop. You know, they're gonna put us in a mental hospital if you keep doing that, because nobody's friendly. Don't do it. But you see, when we're kind, the world, kindness makes somebody stand out completely different than the world, just completely. People are even taken back. Well, also, fourthly, kindness is our duty. It's as we clothe ourselves with kindness every day as a child of God, it's our duty. It's a must-have. Again, it's one of those separator statements. It's, I can't get around it. I have to have it. I can't get as close to it as I want to. I can't just get halfway there. I can't live partially in the culture that we live in and partially as a countercultural Christian. It just doesn't work that way. See, we live in a world that does not always value and probably doesn't always appreciate things like kindness. There's a woman by the name of Elsie Holdren. She was 68 years old. She recently lost her job as a security guard. True story. You know what? She lost her job. Why? It wasn't attendance. It wasn't theft. It wasn't not doing a good job. On her separation paperwork, it said you were too courteous, too kind. And she was fired for being too kind. And when asked to give a better description of why she was being fired, the boss wrote this. True. Due to your caring and your giving nature, you are compromising your position. Being caring and kind is not a job requirement, nor something that you are paid to do. I thought, wow, fired for being too nice. Wouldn't you like to have that lady working for you? Crazy world that we live in. You see, That's just the world we live in. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. I'll tell you, kindness will open doors. In regards to going back really quickly to adorning the gospel, to make the gospel attractive, it will open doors. I call this my wow passage. I'm going to hold this in case it goes forward here. But, yeah. Oh, don't go to the pie yet. Okay, 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9. The wow passage. There are just these wow passages in the Bible that just clear things up. To sum it up, right? Peter says, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, loving, compassionate, humble, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called to the very purpose that you would inherit a blessing. I want you to really look at that. It's interesting. We are called to be very intentional in the practices that Peter's talking about. Very intentional. That means I intentionally put these things on. I intentionally need to act this way. Very, very purposeful in the way I live. Now, it's going to take effort, yes. It's going to take work, yes. It's going to take commitment on our part, maybe day by day, yes, as we clothe ourselves or put on those things. I love the story about the elderly lady that went to the post office. And the lines were so long because it was close to Christmas. And all she needed were a few stamps. And as they saw her there and she was a little bit unstable on her feet, somebody said, why are you waiting in this line? There's a stamp machine right over here, ma'am. You know, I'll help you. And just put in your money and the stamps come out and you can go back in your car and rest. And they were trying to be nice. You know what she said? That stamp machine's not going to ask me about my arthritis today. You see, she wanted somebody just to ask, somebody to show just a little bit of kindness. You see, that's the world we live in. That's how easy it is to live countercultural. That's how easy it is to stand out in the world. That's how easy it is to adorn the gospel. It really is. Kindness. So many folks are looking, they're searching, they're yearning, they're just looking for the smallest act of kindness, just to give them the smallest amount of attention, just something. Just notice them. Just hear them for a moment. And just let them know you matter. You matter, ma'am. You matter, sir, to me. Just let them know. Remember Proverbs 19 and verse 22 that we talked about earlier? What is desirable in a man is his kindness. You want to be attractive? Be kind. Bear Bryant said it this way. It really doesn't cost anything to be nice, and the rewards can be unimaginable. Doors are open. Again, 1 Peter 3 that we went, that wow package. I mean, that passage maybe should be on our refrigerator doors. Do you think it matters, my treatment of others, as we look at the wow passage? Do you think it really matters if I go and make a little effort to be kind or nice? That I'm sympathetic or I'm harmonious or I'm loving or I'm kind-hearted to others? And I never really noticed this because towards the end it says that you were called for that very purpose that you would inherit a blessing. I just have really never looked at that. You see, not returning insult for insult, right, as it says, but I give a blessing instead of that. And what a great feeling that I can put my head down, and what a blessing it is to put my head down and say, I helped somebody today. I gave somebody kindness today. I lived countercultural. I stood out today by simply giving somebody a blessing. And that's a blessing in and of itself as we put our head down. Have we ever put our head down and said, wow, I had so many opportunities to talk to somebody today, or I should have done this, or I should have done that. And I let that opportunity, precious opportunity, pass me by. It can be either or. I can choose to bless somebody today, or I can choose not to. It's a personal directive to me, and it's a personal directive to you. Later on, it says you're called for that very purpose. If I want to inherit a blessing, and who doesn't want to inherit a blessing here, right, from God, then I better be in the business of giving blessings to others. Well, be kind, right? To be kind always in our words, in our tones sometimes. You know, sometimes it's not what we say, it's how we say it sometimes. In our body language. Go the extra mile. Go a little bit out of our way sometimes. Maybe do it whether it's deserved or not deserved. Make that be our first impression when somebody meets us, that we're kind. Make that be our second impression that they see in us, that we're kind. Let it be the third and the fourth. It's amazing the doors that it will open when we do that. We really need to. I know I'm not going to be here long enough for anybody to make me a pecan pie, but boy, this works where I go. My favorite pie, although we got some pecans today, Jerry. But you know what? That's my favorite pie, whatever. Think about your favorite pie if it's not pecan, okay? But you know what? Mom will make you a pie. Remember growing up, and what does she say? You got to get through the Brussels sprouts. You got to get through the broccoli. You got to get through the liver and onions. All of those things. And once you eat all of those things, then you know what? You got that pie coming. What do you want to do? I don't know about you. I want to eat the pie first, right? I want to eat the pie first. I don't want to go through all the bad stuff in life. I want to do that. You know what? But I think Christianity is not a pie in the sky. You know, as we arduously go through everything that we eat to get to that pie. But sometimes I think of the pie as that promised heavenly home someday. You know what? And sometimes people think, I got to get through everything in life. I got to get through all of the stuff, all the pain, all the suffering, all the horrible stuff in life to get to that reward that's spoken of if I stay faithful to God. But I don't think Christianity is that way. I think Christianity, honestly, if we bless others and we're kind and we live countercultural, I honestly believe that Christianity is like that pie every day. It's just, it's one blessing after another by God. It's the way we look at it. And it's not a pie in the sky. It's real. That Jesus said, I go and I've prepared a place for you. And I believe that. And with all of my heart, and I know you do too, we don't have to worry. And what we go through in life, it's not arduous. It's not horrible if we just learn to make sure I'm adorning the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to get blessings in this life. And then blessings unbelievable after my life upon this earth is over. It's going to be blessings here and blessings there. But you see, it's how we do what we, how we treat people and the things that we do. Whether it's going to be artichokes and broccoli and liver and onions, and we just look at it that way, or if it's something good like a pie. You know, maybe that's too simple. But you see, countercultural, I think, is living like Jesus would have us live. You don't have to go far at all. You don't have to look very far at all. News, magazine, whatever it might be, to know that we're not of this world. That we, you know, we are. We're called to be peculiar people. We're called to be different. We're the called out, right? And when we look at putting these things on, and we just talked about kindness. I mean, talked about love the last couple nights. As we look to make the gospel of Jesus Christ attractive, as we see those things, they're not hard. But it takes effort on our part, and the rewards are just unbelievable. We need to do everything we can. Earlier, I don't know if I even have it. I think I do. There are a lot of folks. We were talking, brother, today about people passing away. And we're talking about sometimes it just seems like there's been a lot of people passing away lately. There's been a lot of people younger passing away. But you know what? I was after we talked about it, I looked at this. 2 people per second, they're saying. 107 people will pass away per minute. Since we've been here, 6,393 people have met eternity. 153,425 people pass from this life each day. 4,679,452 every month. Over 56 million every year. 56 million people. Every second, 2 people are meeting eternity. It's something to think about. As we think about us wanting to adorn the gospel, to spread the gospel to a lost and dying world, isn't it important? And as we say, aren't we reminded enough about the brevity of life? Aren't we reminded enough that this world is not our home? Aren't we, you know, aren't we reminded enough that with 100% sincerity, unless the Lord comes back, that we're not, that we're going to meet the Lord in judgment, that we're going to die? It's appointed unto man to die once, and after this, the judgment. Every single person will stand before the judgment seat, and each one will give an account for himself or herself. And eternity is too long to get it wrong. Heaven is too wonderful to miss. I want to end tonight with the simple plan of salvation: to hear the word, to believe it, to repent of your sins, to confess that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as I always say, exactly who He said He was. And upon that good confession that you're baptized into Christ, to arise out of that watery grave in contact with His blood, your sins forgiven, you become a member of the Lord's body. And if we live faithful unto death, Revelation chapter 2, we have the promised crown of life. That place again in John 14 that Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you." When I hear those words, I'm just so excited. You know, when I drive in here, I see my name on the sign here. And I said, that's kind of weird to see my name on a sign. But can you imagine seeing your name in a heavenly room forever and ever? My name is up there. How wonderful it is. Let's adorn the gospel. Let's live countercultural. If you have any need at all, won't you come? We'd love to help you, pray with you, for you, baptize you into Christ, whatever you might need, as we're led in the invitation song.